Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Before I'm able to even greet you and everyone here properly, I must speak what the Lord has put in my heart, and I want it. I want everybody to listen, and I want all movement to be restricted. I have been having this persuasion from last week. As you all know, and for some who don't know, the Lord called me into the fivefold as a prophet first before a teacher of the word. And I've been having this persuasion to speak for over 2 weeks or more. And sometimes I wait for the burden to be very strong before I speak. Because it is not everything you see as a prophet that you see, except the Lord permits you to speak about it. And I've been speaking to my wife privately for over 2 weeks now, if she can remember. She's outside with the baby, but she knows what I'm talking about. I said, the Lord has been laying in my heart to say something. I'm wondering when it will be, but he has been laying it on my heart to say something. And last night, while we were speaking, I told the leaders, I said, I think it's postponed to next week. Because I felt like we should just give it time, if it's the Lord. And while I was in the house, in the night, I was telling my wife about the talk show for this morning. And I wanted her to coordinate the talk show. And while we were preparing, again the Lord spoke to me that he had to press it in my heart again. He said, I want you to speak about this morning. So I told my wife, the Lord is still pressing me to speak about this. Maybe we can do the talk show and then speak. She said, okay. Even though she objected a little bit because of time management, she said, okay, we can still do it. And in the middle of the night, I think you should do it today and we'll do the talk show another day. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said, I think this is a very strong confirmation. And with the persuasions in my hand, I think I should just go ahead and speak it. I will quote scriptures to validate why we do things the way we do as prophets before I speak what I want to say. And I will need everybody to be attentive, please. Jeremiah 20 from verse 8. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Listen again. Can we have this in the NLT's rendition? I want it to be as easy as possible for everybody to comprehend. So when I speak the words burst out, violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household of joke. Can I have this in the TPT? Or even the message, the Amplify rendition. So that it amplifies some of the words there for easy comprehension. Alright, for whenever I speak, I must shout out, I shout violence and destruction. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because the word of the Lord has become to me a reprimand and a mockery and has brought me insult all day long. The prophet is saying, anytime he comes to proclaim the word of the Lord, he has to shout. They get to see some kind of funny reactions. Are we together? And he said, this has brought him reproach and mockery. People mock him because he comes out and he's speaking for the Lord in manners that are not supposed to be a norm in the society. You know, somebody's just out and shouting that Thus says the Lord. That's how it used to happen in the Old Testament. Are we together? And he said, people mocked him. Hallelujah to Jesus. and insulted him. Verse 9. He says, if I say, I will not remember him or speak his name anymore, then my heart becomes a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot endure it, nor contain it any longer. Meaning, if you are a prophet, and the Lord gives you a word, and you don't say it, it will be as if you want to burst. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know the implications. You can logically calculate some of the implications of what you are about to say. But you see, the fire of God burning, the fire of his word burning on your inside, will make you not even reason the implications. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? You may be told that you'll be killed. As I'm talking to you now, I'm trying to remember, you know, I think that's 1 Kings 22, where we saw Zedekiah and Micaiah. How many of you remember that story? The young prophet knew that whatever he was going to say to the king Ahab, with the wrong vision of going to take Rehob-Gileb, which was a city that was not his, he was going to take it by force. Hallelujah to Jesus. Zedekiah, who was the chief of the prophet, affirmed that he could go because he was a political prophet. He had received favor from the king, and he couldn't stand for the truth because of the favors he had received. It is the word of God that told us that the gift of a man, what? Maketh way for him. That simply means the favor he had received would not allow him to tell the king that your evil desire is wrong. If you go to take over another person's land, it is wrong and you may die in the process. He told the king, it is okay, you can go. God is with you. But a young man called Micaiah, heard the word of the Lord. In his room, his eyes were open. He saw what was wrong. He saw that it was because of the favor the chief prophet was receiving. The Lord opened his eye to see that. He was a young prophet. Are you people following me tonight? The Lord opened his eye to see that. And when he saw that, as a young prophet, he went to the king and said, O king, thus says the Lord, if you go to take Rehob-Gileb, you will die in the process. Because that is not your land, and the Lord is not with you. What did he do after that? He arrested the young prophet. And the elder prophet came to him. Please follow me carefully. This is not an attempt to ridicule nobody. Alright? To make anybody look small. It is because the Lord has put it in my heart. I couldn't sleep till 4 a.m. yesterday because I was this one because I was really thinking, is it necessary? Hallelujah to Jesus. And praying, wondering if it's necessary. He told the senior prophet. The senior prophet asked the question. He said, where did the Holy Spirit leave me and find a way to speak to you for the king? How did the Holy Spirit pass from me and went to you, who is a younger prophet? He said, well, I can't really explain this, but I was in the inner place of prayer. Hallelujah to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit met me and told me what he said to me. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And I went straight to tell the king what the Lord told me. I am sure, to an extent, even though I'm not very sure, that probably Micaiah would have heard the story of the young prophet in 1 Kings 13. I don't know if some of you remember that. The Bible did not give the name of that young prophet. The Bible calls him a man of God that was young. Are we together? That went to a king and told the king of the atrocities the king was doing, the wickedness the king was doing. Can you remember the story in 1 Kings 13? When the king tried to point hand at the prophet, the Bible says his hands were withered. Can you remember the story? And the king prayed that the prophet would pray to God to restore back his hand. The prophet prayed to God to restore back the king's hand and went back home. The king begged the prophet to collect some money and eat and dine in his palace. But the prophet said, thus says the Lord, I should not touch anything here, not food, not water. I should go back home. And while he was going back home, a young servant who was in the king's palace, whose father is a prophet, ran back to his father and said, somebody came with a word for the king and blah, blah, blah happened. Are we together? And the prophet ran with his horse to meet Micaiah and told, the young prophet. The old prophet ran to meet the young prophet and said, I heard what you said to the king. Can you come and dine with me? And he said, no. The Lord said I should not eat anything on this journey. He said, for the Lord, I saw an angel. The angel told me that you should follow me and come and eat. Listen, what killed that young prophet? Because when the young prophet was stoned eating, the hand of the Lord came upon, it's so funny, it's a funny story. The hand of the Lord came upon the senior prophet while they were eating. He said, you disobeyed the Lord. He said, for disobeying the Lord, you will die on your way back. Because when you break the edge, what happens? As he was going back, a lion caught the young prophet and killed him, and he died. The older prophet was he felt so guilty that he said, he went single-handedly and carried the body of the younger prophet, came and buried him in his town. And he said, if I die, please bury me beside this prophet. For what he has told the king is true. Now, question is, what killed that young prophet? Hallelujah to Jesus. What killed that young prophet? Please, restricted movement, please. What killed that young prophet was not anything but unguarded honor. Honor has parameters. The Bible says, follow us as we follow Christ. That's what Paul said. Meaning you don't follow anybody blindly. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It was only regards for the anointed. He felt that that was a senior prophet. And that is why he took from him what he said as a word from the Lord and ignored what he had heard. Are you people following me very carefully this morning? Are your eyes getting open to the revelations I'm sharing with you? That was what killed that younger prophet. Please follow me carefully. I am not in any way explaining that everybody here should live a dishonorable life, disrespect people who have gone ahead of them. But what can we call this? It is unguarded honor. That's what killed that young prophet. Because he heard God. Thank God for people like Paul. He said, even if an angel comes to you with what? Another gospel. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, tell that angel to go back to where he came from. Because God is not an author of what? Confusion. Hallelujah to Jesus. So why will God have to send a younger prophet to the town of a senior prophet? We saw that in Micaiah. We saw that in Zedekiah. Something was wrong somewhere. In all honesty, there is no better way to explain this thing, but that something was wrong somewhere with the senior prophet. Sadly speaking, but that's the truth. Are we together? And so as I was praying, the Lord told me, he said, go speak boldly my word. And he showed me another scripture, Job 32 from verse 18. Job was to speak a word for the Lord. And this is how he puts it from verse 18. He says, for I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Next part of scripture. My belly is like unvented wine. Like new wineskins, it is about to burst. You see that now? He couldn't contain it. So you may think the guy is unguarded, the young man is foolish. Why is he speaking like this? It's not about the sense of that young man, the logical reasoning. It's about what is happening on the inside. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And I tell you the truth, it's not pride. If you are not a prophet, you may never truly understand what I'm saying. And for some of you who have flowed in the prophetic grace for several moments, maybe momentarily, you observe that there are some of you here who in your compound, once in a while, the Lord gives a word for somebody. Has anybody had that kind of experience in this place? In your family, the Lord gives a word for somebody. Anybody here? You are not a prophet, but you are flowing in this prophetic grace. It entails that every Christian once in a while should flow in a prophetic grace. There's a prophetic grace, there's a prophetic office. And at those moments, if you observe, it is like fire burning in your bones. You can't contain it, except you are a lousy Christian. If the Lord tells you that so-so person in the compound, so-so thing, you can't help yourself. It will be disturbing you, haunting you every day. How many of you have been there before? Until sometimes you go there and explain. Maybe you don't even find a connection between what you saw and that human being. But the day you coincidentally go and tell the person, this is what I dreamt about, the person will be so shocked. Because that's actually what is happening in that person's life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Next part of scripture, verse 19. It says, I must speak so that I may get what? Relief. I will open my lips and what? Answer. Then he says something at the end, which is the most interesting part. Put the next part of scripture. It says, I warn you, be partial to any man. That is, let my respect for you mitigate what I see, not flatter any man. Meaning, as he's saying this thing, he will not flatter anybody. He will not try to impress anybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the last scripture before I continue, Ezekiel 3 from verse 14. The Bible said, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. God wanted to pass a message, and this is what he did to the prophet. He said, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. I went completely into bitterness. Meaning he was not himself again. He was just feeling bad. He was just feeling annoyed. Are we together? He said, by the sins of Israel, in the rage of my spirit, he thought about Israel's offense, and it was just paining him. He couldn't contain the sin of his nation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And the Lord will put his own burden in you as a prophet. That's how it works. Because you see, the word of God carries the DNA of God. So he has to bring you in a place where, I mean, you have to stand from where God is standing, and so that you can communicate the message very well. You have to feel the way God is feeling to communicate the message very well, because you are God's spokesman. He said, the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Next part of scripture. Then I came to the Ezraites who live beside the river Cheba at Tel Abib. I sat there for 7 days in the place where they were living, overwhelmed with astonishment by my vision and the work before me. Next part of scripture. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me saying, next part of scripture. Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Are you listening? Next part of scripture. When I say to the wicked, you will certainly die, and you do not warn him or speak out to tell him to turn from his wicked way to save his life, that same evil man will die in his sins, but you will be responsible for what? His blood. Who is now responsible for his blood? The prophet that would not speak. Next part of scripture. However, if you have warned the wicked one and he does not turn from the wickedness or from his wicked way, he will die in his sin, but you have been freed from your word. Responsibility. It's long, but I will not continue. Now listen to me, all you people. I may not be the oldest prophet in town, but the Lord has given me a word for this nation. It is not hidden anymore, the things happening in our nation. Media, I want this to go very far. It is not hidden anymore, the things happening in our nation. Amidst the many challenges, particularly the killing of Christians in northern Nigeria. Many may not understand, even some in Nigeria, because they never stayed in northern Nigeria. I grew up in NDA Kaduna. It's a part of northern Kaduna. And I saw from when I was a child until I was mature, the countless massacres of Christians. Some of you truly may never understand what I'm saying. You may truly never, when I'm done, sir, you'll be thinking if I'm mad. That's where I grew up. Today we're excited. Man, something beautiful is happening. You know, we're excited that a nation is speaking, you know, on our behalf. I was going to tell the media to play a video. I don't know. Let's just even play it for a while. Just 1 minute, the first video. Just 1 minute. Just watch, everyone. This man is a member of CAN and is a member of PFN. Are we together? Did you see the prayer he made? He said, God, I want you to what? Raise. Who told you God does not answer prayer? We prayed a prayer in this church 2 weeks to 3 weeks ago. Can you people remember? We said, God, bring a solution for our nation. Today, God has, the Bible said, the hand of the Lord, that the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. Somehow God was able to convince the world's strongest ruler. You cannot hide facts. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. About what is happening. Who told you again, like I said, God does not listen to prayers? Some people may say, it's nothing will happen. Listen, don't be foolish. God has started working. Yeah.
Are you all listening to me tonight? God has started moving.
I will continue my statement. I grew up in northern Nigeria. I was giving birth in Kaduna. I saw massacres. I was a young boy in a church, Catholic church called St. Martin's. Years ago, I had friends who were altar boys. I started somewhere. I remember vividly when two of my friends in Sharia 2000. Some of you don't know about that. I don't know if anybody heard Sharia 2000 here before. Where Christians were massacred like animals in Kaduna. Because of Sharia law. You know what Sharia law is? It's a law that guides Muslims. Only one religion. They want it to guide Nigeria. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? It's more like saying that everybody should live by our commandment as Christians. You don't force Christianity on people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It is their choice to follow Jesus or not. That's what made many people to die in Sharia 2000. I had two friends, like I said, who their mother was outside. They tied the mother's hand. They put these two boys in a room in Abakpa. It's close to Ngwankanawa. They put these two boys sharing just in between Ngwankanawa and Komemashi. They put these two boys in a room, light fire, and it burned them to ashes. The mother was outside with her hands tied. She was crying. She could do nothing about her children. Some of us have seen. We have seen things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? As a young child, the only reason why some of us were not affected is chiefly the grace of God. Secondly, from human perspective, we grew up in the barracks. That's where we stayed. And anytime this crisis will start, most of these people around the boundaries of the barrack will run into the barracks because that's their only hiding place. Some of them are living on the road. Some of them are living under the step. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Some of them that have family members who are in the barracks, we squat with them. That's how terrible it was in northern Nigeria. If you had stayed in Kaduna before, it's divided into Kaduna North and Kaduna South. Not because of anything, but because of the killings. Christians ran to the south, Muslims dominate the north. Hallelujah to Jesus. It is that bad. Then I came to school in Benue State and I enjoyed a lot of peace. The truth is that I enjoyed Benue State so much. I know beyond all the underdevelopment and etc., it used to be a very peaceful state. The food and everything. It was my first time at that time I came here. And I enjoyed a lot of peace. It was not like Kaduna. But over time, we started hearing of killings again, which all of you are aware of. Especially for one that vividly happened not so long, the 200 murder of human beings at where? Yelwata. Leaving many people fatherless, motherless, and leaving children as orphans. In fact, we saw how they killed very little children. I don't know if some of you saw those videos. Children, there was a child that they cut off his hand. A very young child. These are not human beings. They are animals that are committing these kind of things. They are not human beings. They are what? Completely animals. And not just any kind of animals. They are domestic animals and they are wild animals. You could live with domestic animals. Because if we argue, they will tell us that even human beings, according to biology, are higher animals. This one are wild, foolish animals. They don't deserve to live where human beings are living. Are we together? For you to look at a child of over 9 months, 8 months, 2 years, and pluck off his hand, it means you don't have a heart. The killing also is currently massively happening in Jos, as you all are aware. And 99.9% of the culprits of this killing are Christians. 99.9%, if not 100%, in Jos are Christians. Hallelujah to Jesus. And while I was meditating, I asked my wife a question. I said, do you think these people are not intelligent people? I know some of you will be seated here and say, God forbid for me to go and live in that kind of place. Because you can afford to live where you are living. There are some people that have nowhere to go to. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's not because they are foolish enough not to run. Where are they going to run to? Some of you would have been noticing recently how that people can come and knock at your gate. I don't know if that's happened to you, but it has happened to me several times. And ask you, see, I'm from IDP camp. Can I have food to eat? My wife is aware. Several times, we will go inside and package things and come and give them. The truth is that where do they start from? Hallelujah to Jesus. Listen, church. In 2022, Deborah, who was a student of Shehu Shagari College of Education, was also beaten. This lady was beaten and burned to death. While I was writing, I said, by some animals, some wild animals in Sokoto, for alleged blasphemy. Not because we heard that she blasphemed, it was alleged against Muhammad. That's what she said. That's what the media said. They were trying to justify the death. Under Sharia law. Are we together? Are you people here tonight? This lady is the daughter of somebody else. She's a daughter of a man somewhere and a woman somewhere and a sibling of somebody somewhere. The Bible says we don't have a savior that is what? Ignorant of the failures of our infirmity. If you truly know Jesus, you can't take this kind of rubbish happening. The truth is that even if you want to take it, how far can you take it? What can you actually do considering what is happening in our nation? There's a statement that says there's freedom to speak, but not freedom after speech in Nigeria. I'm sure some of you have come across that statement by several people. She was killed in a country practicing democracy. Of course, you all know that Muhammad is the founder of Islam. The president at that time did nothing. Nothing. Meanwhile, a group of alleged kidnappers were recently caught not so long in Uromi, I think of Edo State, right? Due to several reports of kidnaps in their community. So they were alleged to be kidnappers and they were caught and burnt, which is actually wrong because they took the law into their hands. But this is a point. Is this compared to the killing of Deborah? And even if it is compared, let's take for instance, it is 50-50. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, it's not even compared. Because this lady did not kill anybody. She did not steal from anybody. She just proved to you that she does not believe in what you believe. And maybe disrespected your belief. This is a nation where we grew up. I was called an Arne all my life in Kaduna. You know what an Arne means? In the barracks, when they call us, we beat them because we're in the barracks. But outside the barracks, you don't even dare to touch them. Because if you try to touch them, they come in their mass. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? An Arne simply means a pagan. Somebody that has no God. Is that not enough disrespect to Jesus? There's a video I would have told Nathaniel to play. I think the second or third video. Maybe you will see it after I'm done speaking. A man was insulting Jesus Christ that Jesus is stupid. Jesus is useless. If we are stupid like them, we would have caught such a man and burnt him to death. The video is there. I think you should be sure. I don't know if you know that video. Just look at it. You see where somebody, and there's a court, maybe down here or up here, somebody speaking and insulting Jesus. In Hausa, you may not understand, but play the second video if you can as I'm speaking. Insulting Jesus, calling him stupid, calling Jesus useless, saying Jesus is this, Jesus is that. Nobody. This is it. Just play it. The person that is on blue is an evangelist, a recently converted evangelist from Islam. He is the one showing us the video. Can we just hear it again? Did you hear that? Stop there. There are a lot of names that cannot even take those rubbish that I'm hearing. He said, Jesus is a drunkard. Jesus is stupid. Are you people hearing that? This is somebody insulting Jesus to our face. Nobody will touch him. We don't defend our own God. He told us to be still. And that he will prove that he is God. This is happening in our nation. Nobody caught this guy. Nobody killed him. But they are quiet. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so many who are killed in Benue State. And so many who have been killed in Jos. So many thousands have been killed in Jos. Not hundreds. Thousands. Yesterday I was watching a video
501 people buried in one grave. 501 people in a day. 501 people in one grave. 501 Christians killed in one grave. Somebody messaged and said, he's in the bush. They cannot even dare to go to their house. They live from the bush. They'll just put bed. But that's how they are living. They can't be in their house. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And I miss these things that are happening, people of God. People are still going to church. This morning, I can tell you some people there are hitting drum and are praising God. And I miss this persecution. Now, whatever we have seen leaves us with no choice but to conclude that there is what? Christian genocide in Nigeria. Now, my next paragraph says this. I adopt the patriotism of our leaders. I was taught that patriotism is the love someone has for his or her country. But they think, it seems to me that our leaders think Nigeria is a building, not a people. The people make up the nation, not any building we see today. Amidst all this pain in our nation that had caused thousands to be widows, widowers, orphans, homeless, hungry, sick, and dead, the government is more concerned with increased tax, new policies that will make their both sets of people already using life support to finally die. Amidst all of these things, what we are hearing is new tax. That from next year, when you buy fuel, 5,000, they will remove 250 from the 5,000. You know what it means for fuel subsidy to be removed? It simply means the government have stopped aiding us to buy fuel in cheaper rates. So they removed that money now. Yet, as at this morning, I hope you know we borrowed 1 billion from Central Bank, from World Bank, sorry. Our government borrowed $1 billion, as at this morning as we're speaking. In a country that removed fuel subsidy. I read just lately how that the governor of Maiduguri used over 2.5 billion. I don't know if some of you saw that. For repentant Boko Haram. 2.5 billion for repentant Boko Haram. That has made the homes, that has made many homes lose their fathers while trying to save Nigeria's military men. You know, in the barrack, when we wake up in the morning, we hear, if somebody's not saying, why? Oh my God, my husband. That's what I grew up hearing that cry. It was a normal cry. When I just say, my husband. I just know somebody's husband have died. When we just see soldiers enter somebody's house and sit down, we see them entering. They are not stopping. They are just entering. The woman will just lie on the ground and start rolling. She knows her husband is dead. These people are being killed in Maiduguri. And now what you are doing is to console them for killing people. With 2.5 billion. Listen, nobody cares about you sitting here. These people are 100% inhuman. Are you listening? You know what 2.5 billion will do for us in this country? For many people in this country? They are using it to compensate, to give people who killed fathers, killed mothers, killed children. Now listen carefully. They did not give this money to people who lost their fathers, lost their mothers, and lost their children instead. Imagine this money was even given to military men, military women, women of the military men who died in those kind of situations. Some of them, as we are speaking, they have not even paid them what belongs to their husband. That was done by the Maiduguri governor. What they call that state? Right? It's Maiduguri, right? The governor called Governor Zulu. Finally, to our Christian leaders. I understand that amidst these Christian leaders, we have fathers and very respected senior colleagues. And I honor everyone. But I believe Nigerians and the whole world have sincere, disturbing questions to ask. I believe many people have sincere questions that we cannot keep deaf ears to. The first question I have is, has God changed? I believe God has not changed. The Bible says yesterday the same, today the same, and for what? Forever the same. There is no way God Almighty will not be speaking to Nigerians, Nigerian government today, through our prophets, our men of God, if he, true prophet Samuel, warned King Saul about his bad leadership. God, true prophet Samuel, warned King Saul several times about bad leadership. That God has not changed. Didn't God, true prophet Nathan, warn King David about his sin with Bathsheba? He warned a king more like a president. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That God has not changed. True prophet Isaiah, he warned King Hezekiah about future exile. And ultimately, Jesus warned Paul on his way to Damascus. He said, "Why art thou persecuting me?" That this, what is happening in Nigeria is exactly what was happening with the church in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Paul was going with his team, maybe Jewish haram, I don't know what to call it, and they were going to kill Christians where God encountered and said, "You are touching me." So sadly, I have to quote some people, even some of them that I'm not sure of their fate. I'm not sure. I don't even really know them. But I heard a man on Arise TV called Rufai Hussein is something like that. And he said something that was so beautiful. He said, when God puts you in high position, it is because God wants you to speak for the people. He wants you to be the voice of the voiceless. And we have scriptures to back up this claim. As Esther 4:13. In Esther 4:13, Mordecai told Esther, he said, "Do not think that in your heart you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." Because Esther was being quiet. She didn't want to talk for the benefit of what she was receiving in the palace. He said, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place," which we are seeing today. I think people get what I'm trying to say. "But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Another scripture, Acts 12:1. About this time. "Now at the time Herod Agrippa, the king of the Jews, arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to what? Harm them." Next part of scripture. "And he had James, the brother of John, to put to death with a sword." Next part of scripture. I want you to notice something. This was persecution for Christians. "And when he saw that it pleased the what?" Did the Jews say he pleased us? No, pleased us. No, they kept quiet. "When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to have Peter arrested as well." This was during the days of unleavened bread, the Passover week. When he did the first thing and he saw that Christian leaders were quiet, he went further. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? He went further and did even more. Today we have CAN and we have PFN. While these massacres are happening, somebody sat in Lagos and Delta and they said there's nothing like that happening because they have no clue. Intelligent men traveled from every part of the world and came and did their research. With the data they have, they said what they are hearing about Christian genocide is true. We in our country, who are ahead of Christians, are saying it's not what? It's not true. The truth is that one is left with no option but to assume anything. Could it be that you have been bought? Could it be that you are not speaking because of ethnicity? Could it be that there's something you have done that you don't want to be revealed by the president? That is why you are not speaking. Maybe you have something hidden. We should get to know because we don't understand. Lastly, they had a PFN celebration of 40th anniversary or something recently. And I went to watch the video. Not so that I condemn, I just wanted to watch the video. And when I watched the video, I was waiting for where I would hear something concerning the killing of Christians in Nigeria. I heard none. Rather, the only thing I heard was one saying that they should create a committee to guide the preaching of men of God, so that they will not be disrespecting fathers. Fathers who cannot stand up for their children. Are they worthy to be called fathers? If they are truly fathers, they would have spoken up. Now listen, if we had not seen some pastors spoken up against this thing before, we would have not had any problem. In fact, recently, at the beginning of the year, one of the pastors spoke for the government as if he's the spiritual father of the government. He said wicked men are trying to stop the government from what? Leading rightly. And we as a church who honor you, you have not spoken for us. Some Nigerians are going outside as pastors to do crusade, to save souls. Is it not souls that are alive that can be saved? If you cannot help us to stay alive, how can you save us? There are many who have died without receiving Jesus. Because in Nigeria, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a Muslim, sorry, whatever you are, they call you what? A Christian. Hallelujah to Jesus. We thank God for voices like Prophet Israel Buba, who have been consistent with speaking the truth to power. We thank God for men who are not even from the Pentecostal movement, like Bishop Anagbe with Fred. We thank God for the very fiery Reverend Ezekiel Dachumo, who I believe is a CAN member. I believe is a PFM member. But in a PFM meeting, they did not even speak about the cases that is happening. This is a man that buried... He has buried over 300 to 500 to 1,000 people, and he's speaking, and we did not hear anything in PFN. If that's what PFN can offer, then to hell with it. It is not worthy to represent the body of Christ. I will mention just a few names of pastors who have died. Reverend Lawan Andimi, the chairman of the Christian Association of Nigeria, CAN, in Adamawa State. He was killed by Boko Haram. Reverend Luca Levong, a pastor with the Church of Christ Nation, Kokin. He was killed in his premises in Kwara Town, Yobe State. He was attacked by these guys. Reverend Yakubu, he was killed in his home in Borno by ISWAP in 2023. Reverend Johanna, CAN chairman in Kano State. He was not just killed, he was stoned to death. In Kano, in 2021, he was stoned to death. I don't want to show you the picture. Some of you cannot see that picture. He was stoned his head. They were stoning it. It scattered. Because they said his mission is working. What is his mission? He is winning souls. And the church is growing. Pastor Emmanuel Na'ala, he was killed in 2025. Pastor Sabo Yakubu was also killed by Boko Haram. Pastor Sylvester Akbar. These are things you can go and vet. I didn't just stand up and write them. He was killed. Pastor George Orji was killed. Reverend Polycarp Zongo was also killed. He's a cocaine pastor. Miss Bridget Agbahime, the 70-year-old wife of a Christian pastor in Kano City. 74-year-old, I mean. She was lynched by a mob and killed that she did blasphemy. Pastor Daniel Dauda's husband, she's a woman, in an attack where his wife and others evacuated, he and other men stayed behind to protect the church and community in Borno State. He and more than 20 other Christians were killed by these terrorists. The Guardian newspaper, as at 29th, 2025, reported that over 10,217 Christians have been killed since President Bola Ahmed Tinubu took office. Still on Christian leaders, something is wrong somewhere. Could this be why, like I said in the beginning, God had to send a younger prophet in 1 Kings 13 Could this be why God has to raise Micaiah in 1 Kings 22? If Jesus died for soul, he should point a picture of value that God has for humanity. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want this to go far. Listen, I know some people may be saying, is it necessary? Would you not cause chaos for yourself? What are we living for? Hallelujah to Jesus. I also round up. What are we truly living for? Am I living for money? Am I living for wife? And no, I love my wife. I want children. And I will love them. Are we together? But is that why I should keep my mouth shut? What is the end goal of my existence on the earth? This evil is too much. People are living like they don't have brains. Are you listening to me tonight? We have to address it. Christians have to wake up. If you see me tonight, as I was speaking there, I hardly spoke about denomination. It's beyond denomination. This problem is too much. I am wondering whether some pastors are thinking we're in the book of Revelation. But there are some in Abuja and Lagos. They don't have no clue of what is happening. They have no clue. You are doing service from the killings you are seeing. God has not spoken to you about anything killing. It's breakthrough and mantles. You are a fake Christian. God cannot be speaking about mantles. God cannot be speaking about favor when they are killing people. Go and read your Bible. Everything points to that situation. Read the Old Testament. There was no time that people were suffering that God pointed to the economy of Israel. It's not possible. He was pointing to souls because the Bible says, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? We are here, maybe in Makurdi, in Abuja, some people in Lagos enjoying ministry. In fact, I heard one time somebody said God did not call him for village churches. If people didn't go to the village, many would have not even been civilized. Do you know people pledged their life? They went to villages. Some people have been massacred for this faith. Early Christians who were missionaries will go to villages and go and enact churches, enact schools. Some of you went to mission schools. What will the blood of these martyrs be saying in the realm of the spirit, comparing whatever they did to the Christians of today? And some of you who are Christians who are lukewarm, it is time you wake up. Look at what is happening in our nation. Are you all listening to me tonight? It is time to wake up. It is obvious that nobody has you at heart. It is God Almighty that has you at heart. Not even the celebrities you follow, the Davidos and the Whiskey and the Bonap, are they in this country? Some of them are not even currently in this country. Some people, when they finish, that's the song they go to listen to. As Christians, in this situation, in this country, at this point, one of the guys is busy doing his programs everywhere. These things are happening. Have you heard them say anything? They are benefiting from the government. They cannot confront the government. It's time we all wake up. Are you all listening to me? It's time we all wake up. And don't even be lazy as human beings, as young people. I'm very excited. I pastor 80%, 70% of young people. The future is in your hands. You got to be hardworking beyond spirituality. Are you listening to me? Because it is obvious that the country, the government cannot help you. As we're talking, I'm very 100% sure that the governor's child is not in this country. We don't even know all the children. Most of them are not in this country. They will almost have high BP if they heard that those children are in those places where those issues are happening. Some of them don't have houses there. They don't care to have. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's time to wake up. As at October 7th, we heard that the Khan president said, there is no Christian genocide. You sat, whether in Delta or Lagos, I don't know where it's sitting, saying there is nothing like that in this country. It took people to come outside and check, compare data, and say, listen, no, they may have been affecting the Muslims currently. It is more like what you sow, you reap. But chiefly, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Chiefly, it has been Christian for decades. Whatever is happening with them today, we wish them well. We hope they are able to solve their problem. But chiefly, it is nothing compared Nothing compared to how they are massacring, if there's anyone like that, they massacre Christians and just being with, as we're speaking today, some people in their local government are hiding in the bush. I'm telling you the truth. They don't know what to do. We are the third African strongest army. I grew in the barrack. And I can tell you vividly, Boko Haram is not a problem with military men in this country. It's the corrupt system. We are the strongest land army, I think, in Africa or in major part of the world. Strongest land army. There is no peacekeeping whatsoever that Nigerians are not being part of it. Liberia were there. Sudan were there. Sierra Leone were there. In fact, they were scared. Bandits there, the rebels there were so scared of Nigerian soldiers, telling them that they should not come, telling the government not to allow Nigerian soldiers to come. We ended the war there. The last chief of army staff before he left there was a man from our state, General Malu. Look at the kind of strength we have as a military in Nigeria. And yet we cannot deal with some bloody animals in the bush who have little or no training about how to even use a gun. There's something wrong somewhere. Are you all listening to me? And I'm advising some of you who have carried politics on your head and you don't have brains again. You don't reason. That's as long as they criticize somebody that is from your lineage, you'll be shouting like you don't have brain. What is leadership if they don't criticize it? Trump will stand and a young child will say, "Trump, this is what you are doing, blah, 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 and it's rubbish." And he will say, "Okay," you will try to explain why it is not rubbish. See the way they paint Trump black in the US. See the way those people that want to live bad life, those guys, all those homosexuals and the rest that hate him. See the way they insult him. See the way they design him. See the way they mock him on the media. I mean, in US, a media is totally against. We all know that CNN hate Trump. And Trump have not tried to sanction them. But not in this country. We can't even start talking about the NSAS that ended the lives of people, so many lives of young people. As we speak right now, there are people who are in jail because of NSAS. Some of you have been stopped by police officers here before. Some of them behave like they have little or no brain. They have killed many young people and thrown them away. And you say we should be quiet? Quiet for what? It's obvious that at any time anybody can die. That's how it is in this country. Some of you will live in Abuja or you go to Abuja sometimes. You are not even guaranteed to reach in Abuja. Based on what is happening in this country right now. If it is not God, are you guaranteed? The people that died on their way to Abuja, did they plan to die? That's why I'm wondering. At this point, everybody, you have to be hot in your faith. You can't be joking at this time. And it is not within your, it is not to your power. Alright? You don't try to generate power for yourself to be hot in your faith. God has given you wings in the spirit. He said, "I've given you all that you need for life and godliness." What it takes to be very spiritual is on your inside. Don't be a lousy Christian. Some Christians don't care about this thing. As we are talking like this, they are saying this one is being over ambitious. If they catch him, they will kill him. To hell with whatever they are imagining in their heart. Why are they like that? Those are the kind of Christians that will sit down after church and be listening to worldly songs. They don't care about their faith. There is no way you'll be living for the devil and have compassion for souls. You can't. From where I'm speaking, you may truly never understand until you really embrace true Christianity. He said, "Take upon yourself my yoke and burden, then you will find rest for your souls." So truly you can take upon yourself God's yoke and burden. Are you here tonight?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says we don't have a savior that is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. At this time, somebody is going to club as a Christian. At this time, something like Big Brother Nigeria is existing. People are going there. At this time, are we reasonable at all? In fact, some people are part of the problem of this nation. Some of you voting for people in Big Brother Nigeria, you are part of Nigeria's problem. There were days we celebrated first class. We put them on national TV. Gave them cars and things. Right now, there are many first class in this country who are frustrated. Many first class. When you are done, nobody even recognizes you. Sadly speaking, with the permission of my wife, when my wife made first, best graduating student in BSU, guess what BSU gave her? 20,000. She did not still collect it. The money did not reach her. Is it 20 up to 20,000? What's the amount they said? less than 20,000 was what the school assigned her. And she just said, "Make me just, the money does not still reach her." Best graduating, overall best graduating student. It was a foundation, Eunice or Tom something, that gave her over 1 million. The school gave her 20,000. Sorry, I'm putting it less than 20. That the person that was on the 20,000, it's. Are you seeing that such a person now you make him president, it is finished? They have borrowed, though. We don't even know why they have borrowed. Some of us in this country now, we are very scared. The way they have borrowed, though, we are wondering, will one day now we'll sit down, a Chinese man will just enter and say, "You all are part of me. You are my slave, follow me." We are wondering, what is happening? What is happening? Next year, they say tax. You know, they've seen Nigerians' patience. We are strong people. Why so celebrate yourselves? Ah, we joke with anything. Do you know any problem that comes? Nigerians are ready to create comedy out of it. The resilience, the patience, second to none. Even though sometimes I frown at it, I'll just tell God, "Kai, I thank God I'm a Nigerian. We are really a strong people." But I tell you, the day this thing will get to this point, I'm speaking to the government, the day this thing will get to this point, nobody can stop any Nigerian. You know, during when they started complaining about Christian genocide, they are telling us that no, we are Christians too, my wife is a pastor, blah 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 blah. We were just wondering, and the next thing we heard was that a young man wanted to share Bible all over Nigeria. Some of you did not hear that report. You want to share Bible? The letter kill it. But the spirit word give it life. One of my friends was speaking in the voice of my friend. He said, "The person that have anointed that person a pastor, we have to go and arrest that person. Because how can you be married to a Muslim and you are a pastor? How does that work? Were you anointed for what you can give to the church or what?" These are questions we have to ask. But that's just one, something we can keep aside and continue what we are saying. We have to wake up. The corrupt systems, it's so bad that if you just have something to offer, you are a deacon in church. Without baptism. Without going to foundation class. Other churches will call it any other class they have there. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are a deacon in church. That's why the voice of the church, the prophetic voice of the church is very, very silent. Prophet Isaiah Obuba said in his words, he said, "People that should be confronting powers are dancing at the corridor of power. Dancing as like children at the corridors of power." Why? Because they've compromised their faith. In the voice of Prophet Isaiah Obuba. People who are supposed to be watchmen, they don't know what to say. Imagine Elijah was in our day. Imagine men like Elisha were in our days. These are men that don't even like open doors. They just want caves. They don't want anything. Nathan, who was a president or a governor, came to see Prophet Elisha. He told the protocol, tell him that he should just go and dip himself in the river 7 times. Look at the way these people held God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See how they held God to a point that they didn't have time to see a governor. He said, "Sir, the governor of so-so state wants to see you. The president of so-so." He said, "Tell him, let him go and dip himself 7 times in the river. The sickness will go." The man got offended. He said, "Am I so small that this man cannot just come out and say hi?" And he got offended. He said, "I'm going." Then the servant said, "You really want the healing, Abi? You want hi?" Say, "It's the healing I came for." He said, "If it's healing, forget high that he did not tell you. Go inside the river." You know what God did with that Nathan? It was a dirty river. He said, "Go inside, dip yourself 7 times and come out and go away." He went, dipped himself 7 times. The what? Everything he had left. These are men who stood with God. Elijah said it would not rain for 3.5 years. He did not. The king was looking for him everywhere. He troubled Israel, the Bible said. As a prophet, he troubled Israel.
I'm telling you the truth.
You all saw it in your Bible. If the church don't come to this point again, one day there will be no Christianity in this nation. It is not bad luck. It is not me wishing bad. It is prophecy. It is true. And I tell you, if I did not speak, God would have raised a donkey to speak. That's how much God can go. That's how much fire can go. A donkey spoke and warned a prophet, Balaam. God can raise anybody to speak. I know some of you are wondering, why is Rufai Hussaini, blah, blah, blah. This man is saying things that pastors cannot say. And somebody said, he's not a Christian. So, he's not a Christian. What? Was the donkey a Christian? God will raise anybody to... Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He said, if you don't worship me, I'll raise what? Stones. We have come to a point that we are wondering, is it ethnicity that is the problem? Because during another time, you spoke. There was a time a man of God took over 1 million people and said, every soul mattered to God. The killing is nothing compared to what is happening right now. Nothing compared to what is happening right now. We are not hearing anything. You can't leave people on the fence and expect them not to guess anything. And when people talk, you say they should create a system to watch how pastors are speaking. When you yourself have never confronted the wrong thing happening in the nation. Let me tell you, some of these things you are seeing that you are thinking young men are disrespecting fathers of faith. Some may be wrong. I tell you, some of them, the Holy Ghost is behind it. Some of them may not be coming out to say it the way they ought to say it rightly, but I tell you chiefly, the Holy Spirit is behind some of these things you people are saying. Because God said, if you will not worship me, what will happen? He said, I'll raise up stones. They may not come and be speaking beautifully yet, rightly yet, but the Holy Ghost is behind it. Why would Paul come out to openly criticize what Peter did? Because the body of Christ were watching. He said, you are wrong. Jeremiah stood up. He said, Lord, I'm too young for this assignment you are telling me. Some of you have seen that passage. He said, I'm too young. He said, shh, never say that. Go and speak what I say. You know, today, if you confront church, are you people listening to me tonight? I'm about to round up. Today, if you confront wrong things as a young pastor, there is challenges as a young pastor. There are challenges for young pastors. Maybe some of you are not aware, inside, outside. Listen to me carefully. There's a way you talk, they'll say they will hide ministry, whatever, from you. Ministry, how do they put it? Opportunities from you. I heard a pastor saying one time, he said that one will off his light. Nobody will know him. There are things like that happening in the ministry. That's why you see young people that want to go far. Go far, not in God. Go far before men. There's a way they do ministry. They are almost slaves. Slaves to the system. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In a generation where somebody not too long, some of you would have seen those videos. People spoke about money to a point, they said, Jesus died because his disciples did not have money or something. I don't know how they put it. Jesus died because of poverty. In a generation, somebody wanted to talk about money too much. He entered Jesus and ridiculed the crucifixion. That same person as they are killing, have you heard one statement from his mouth? It's the spirit of mammon that is at the cavity of such a human being, the center of his life. It's mammon. The spirit of mammon. They can never speak as prophet for the nation. They can never speak. They can never speak against wrong things happening. I was telling one of my friends one time, they said, give $1,000 for 1,000 members. I said, you're on your own. Don't be foolish. Do you get 1,000 members by $1,000? I said, when you give it finish, you go and do evangelism. You may not even have 100. I said, go and win souls with the gospel. The gospel is the sickle for the harvest. Are you all listening to me tonight? And don't get it wrong. You see that money, we will all have it. I didn't hear you. You can't say the truth, stand with Jesus and be broke. He will give you the money. Don't think because you want to stand for truth, you'll be poor. I don't believe in that. He said, open the righteous nation. He said, open the gate so that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth will come in. The gates are open because you have the truth of God's word. Stand boldly. Stand boldly. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, when you even see, you know, people. I was preaching to a Muslim one time when he received Jesus. Somebody said, how did you do that? I said, let's be sincere. Don't we know they need Jesus? ISWAP, Islam. Boko Haram, Islam. Whatever, Islam. Hamas, Islam. Call all the names is related to what? Islam. We need to preach Jesus. Jesus is the way. His word, the truth. And his word, the life. What to preach him is the only way. Imagine everybody thinks like you as a Christian. No matter how we have been dying, how many of us have carried cutlass to go and revenge? You come to church, the next thing you are hearing is forgiveness. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Imagine everybody thinks like you. Will there be killing in this nation? Jesus said, my coming is to bring peace. He said, peace I bring to my people. Glory to God in the highest and peace to the people on the earth. The coming of, if you truly know Jesus, you'll be a man of peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's not a warlord. He's a Prince of Peace. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Everybody, the only thing I want you to do tonight, I call this service the awakening. Go back home. Be awakened to righteousness. Tell somebody, be awakened to righteousness. Be awakened to righteousness. Hold on to your beliefs. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. See, hold on to it. Let it be so raw to you. Let it be so raw. In this time and season, the only person that can save you is Jesus Christ. Do you know? I forgot to share that video with the media team. Do you know I miss these killings? I miss these killings we are hearing. A pastor was casually, I said it in this church, casually speaking in Jos to the governor when he came to visit them. He said, sir, as they were killing us in Hausa language, he said, I told my wife, I will not die. He didn't say, I don't want to die. He said, I will not die like this. He took his wife outside and these guys were coming. They did not see this pastor. They entered the house, entered through the compound, killed a lot of people, were coming out. The wife was just holding him at the back. They were looking at him. They could not trace whether he was there. And they left. He just said it casually. They did not see me because of God's power. I just told God that I will not die like this. When he said that testimony, he continued, because you see, plenty of people have died. You cannot highlight that thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But I picked something there. That, you know, let me tell you something. What you get out of the word of God is up to you. Thank God. You see, thank God for those that have been martyred. But I tell you the truth. Do you know that there are some that they dare to martyr and they found out that, it is not possible. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You think the time they killed Jesus was the time they tried to kill him? They had tried before the time they killed Jesus. They could not kill him. They could not. Hold on to your faith radically. Pray radically. Especially praying in tongues. Somebody, are you listening to me tonight? I was sharing with the leaders. Nobody should make you feel like you are wasting time praying in the spirit. One of my friends says, it's like you are the ambassador of praying in tongues. I say, yes, I agree. You see, I have seen the power. I don't think anybody in this church has mocked tongues more than me. When I was growing up, I mocked tongues. When I see people praying in tongues, I'll go, what did they mock these mumu people? That's how I used to say it. The day God encountered me, do you know the tongues I started praying with? It was a tongue I was using to mock people. That when I started praying in tongues, I was asking my friends, I said, are you sure I'm saying the right thing? This is what I used to say to mock people that time. He said to me, you are saying the right thing. Maybe God decided to punish you by what you were using to mock people. I've seen how tongues saved me from a lot of situations. When we begin to pray, Kenneth Hagin said, when you begin to pray in the spirit, he said, you allow the Holy Spirit to take the wheel of your prayer life. You know, he begins to arrange things. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit helped our infirmities with what? Church, listen. This is why Paul did not die when they wanted him to die. Are you hearing me tonight? You know, I don't think you are getting what I'm trying to say. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you. I prayed in tongues more than you. I thank my God that I prayed in tongues more than you. Tell somebody around you, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. When you were praying in English, when you are praying in your language, when you are praying, listen, some of you that mock tongues, I'm not trying to force you to pray, but listen to me in 1 minute. When you pray in your understanding, there's a limit. You don't know everything about your life. Do you know what is going to happen 20 minutes after now? You don't know everything about your future. Do you know, all of you here, can you predict how your future will go? He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. That's our infirmity. Human beings don't know how to pray as they ought to pray. The things you prayed about this morning are the things you know about your life. There are many things you don't know about your life. He said, but the Holy Spirit helped that our ignorance, that our infirmity with what? Groanings that our words cannot express. In 27, we say, and he that knoweth the heart of the Father, the heart of the Spirit, prayed for us according to the will of the Father. And the Bible rightly says in the book of Corinthians, he said, God uses the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise. You see these tongues, God will use it to confirm the wise in your life. You pray in tongues. Are you listening to me? Pray in tongues. Nobody should make you feel stupid. When you are praying in tongues, you are generating power. And when the time matters, you use it. The Bible said the effectual heartfelt. Did you see that? Heartfelt. Continuous prayer of the righteous causes tremendous power to be made available. When it's time to use the power, you use it. Create that power. Make it available. Make it available. When the Bible says it's a present help in times of need, it is based on the anointing you gather in your prayer life. I'm telling you the truth, though. Because that anointed my head with what? My cup, what? Because of the anointing, what happens? The yoke is what? You see that? What breaks the yoke? The anointing. How do you generate it? In prayer. What you get in Christianity is a function of your faith. The Bible says the victory that's overcome the world is not his faith for us. He said it's our faith. Our faith towards him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Our faith, meaning we believe in his word, is what causes us to overcome. If Jesus has said you have overcome, you will not overcome until you take his word and hold it so strong. And say, Lord, what you have said, I believe it so much. It is through faith. Grace comes and gives us everything. Faith is how we collect what grace has provided. So what causes you to be victorious as a Christian is what? Your faith. And where is faith built? In church. As you hear the word of God, Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing by what? As you are hearing the word of God, faith is growing, is entering your heart. And faith is built by prayer. As we pray, we build up our most holy faith. You see why I don't joke with prayer? It will take your mommy out of sick bed. It will take your father out of sick bed. There are no two ways about it. If I could not make call before and you give me phone, from the day you give me phone, I'll start rejoicing that I can never have a day where I will not make call. I'll never have that experience where I will not make call again. See, you have a prayer life. You have the Holy Ghost. It's called the Comforter. If you know the function of the Holy Spirit, you start rejoicing from the day you receive it. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, any problem that confronts you, you can finish that problem. You have the Holy Ghost. Except you are not committed to want to pray. If you say, Lord, I'm ready to pray. Is there people like that in this place? Lord, I am ready to pray. Not just for me, for my family, for my generation. We're in a world where if we don't pray, our great patriarch of faith said, if there are men to pray, there is a God to answer. If there are people to pray, he said, there is a God to answer. Except you have not prayed. Except you have not asked, you shall receive. Except you have not seek, you will find. Except you have not knocked. If you knock, the door will be open. People wished me so bad while I started ministry. Some said I will fail. They said plenty things about me. I went to my closet. I said, God, I want to pray. You taught me that I can pray. And if I pray, I will be strong with you. Men ought to pray, else they will fail. Lord, this little thing in BSU, make him strong before the eyes of men. I locked myself up. I prayed my life out. I said, God, make me strong in this campus. I stayed in BSU as one of the strongest, biggest fellowship as a young, tiny boy. Are you people hearing me tonight? That's why I met some of these pastors you are seeing today. Our influence grew till we came outside of campus. Many predicted our downfall, but because I knew that I can pray, I was not scared. Because they that know their God, they shall be what? And they shall do what? The three Hebrew boys said, O king, we will respect you. He said, but concerning this particular matter, we are not careful. When it comes to our faith, king, we are not careful. He said, you can throw us in the fire. There is no option. If we perish, then we perish. Let it be proven that our God cannot save us. They put God on the line. And when they threw these three boys in the fire, the fourth man, a fourth man appeared, an angel who came representing God as consuming fire, came and consumed the influence of that natural fire. Listen, listen, the people that threw them were consumed by the fire. It was that hot. But these three Hebrew boys were there with an angel. And they found that the boys were discussing. This is supernatural. In the Old Testament, people of God, are you listening to me here? In the Old Testament, these guys were discussing an angel in fire. And when they came to Pip, because of that, those three children, a king was able to see an angel. He said, who is that fourth man who has seen that? They brought the supernatural and made it natural. You see, all of us claiming we are new creations, there's a lot of things beyond just saying we are new men in Christ. The Bible says we have come into an innumerable multitude of angels. Where the spirit of just men are made what? Perfect. Many people, they just neglect the supernatural because they call themselves new creations. There's a lot of things in this your new world. There are angels there. There's a cloud of witness there. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible said a man called Philip, he stood up under the influence of an angel. He said, go like this, turn like this. When he turned, he saw an eunuch traveling. And the Lord said, speak to him concerning the faith. He began to open the scroll for this young man, for this elder. This, you know, as he finished, he led this man to Christ, baptized this man, and when before the man came out in the water, the man was gone. The Bible said he disappeared. Some people are trying to make it look like he ran. Read your Bible. The Bible said he disappeared. These are realities in the New Testament. But if you don't seek it, you will not find it. I am not saying, like now, I know I'm sounding stupid. But do you think a babalawo can cause something to happen and God cannot cause it to happen even more? I used to have a neighbor. One time they came to kill him and they said they did not see him. He was a cultist. I said, what happened? Then they sat me down and said, Pastor, that's how they do. They'll just disappear. I said, that guy can disappear. They say, yes. I entered my room. I said, God, an unbeliever is disappearing. And he's my neighbor. Somebody said, no, that's magic power, magical power. Magical power does not have a root in itself. The root of magic is God's power. God's power used wrongly. Satan has no power of himself. These are realities in scriptures. Are you listening to me? They are realities. That Elisha, oh my God, Elisha would tell Gehazi, their soldiers, Gehazi said their soldiers, he was panicking, he was shot. Elisha, there are soldiers everywhere. Elisha said, why are you worried? He was still warming his hand. Why are you shouting? Don't be shouting. The Bible says Elisha maintained his cool. He was so calm. Gehazi said, Master, you don't care that they want to kill us? The soldiers have no end. Their number so many. He said, Lord, open the eye of your servant so that he may see the source of my confidence. You know, it's one thing to say, God, you are big. That's one side. It's another thing to see the provision he has made available for you. Elisha knew that God is big. Elisha also understood the provision that this big God has given him. He said he has given us all for what? Life and godliness. When he prayed for Gehazi's eyes and his eyes were open, Gehazi saw angels so much amidst the soldiers. He could not see any soldier again. The angels were too much. Now he understood why Elisha was not scared. Elisha couldn't see any soldier. The only thing Elisha was seeing was what? Angels. For the things which are not seen, they are more real than the things that are seen. I tell you the truth. God's will, perfect will for the church is not martyrdom. Don't pray to die. Jesus did not die. Your death does not matter in heaven more than the death of Jesus. Listen, God bless the souls that have died. But your death in heaven does not matter more than the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is enough. He did not die for you to die. He died for you to live. If death matters, Jesus will not appear to Paul on his way up to Damascus and say, stop killing my people. They would have celebrated that their matters. He says, stop killing them. It's not God's will for Jesus to stop Paul and say, don't kill the church. It's not God's will for the church to die. And what God does to one, he will do to all. We pray the fire of God's judgment.
on evil leaders right now, like it came to Paul, let it come to them in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. The Lord will begin to visit them. We prayed. I am not some lousy prophet. I tell you people, when I pray, I expect God to listen. He listened to us. Today we are seeing the effect, aren't we? And we will see again. I am seeing how God will cause some of these wicked politicians to be arrested. Mark this. They will arrest them in this nation. Watch, it is not long from now. They will arrest wicked men. This country. Men who admire this country. The prophecy of Pa Elton, they will come to pass. They will come to pass. And you who are called in faith, be strong. Wake up. Wake up. Somebody pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit wherever you are. Don't take it lightly. Pray in the spirit. We have come to the end of the service.
Standing before your glory, there are no words to say but holy, holy, holy. Standing before your glory, there are no words to say but holy.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.